Hi, this is Sandeep Bhartia, and we are starting a new show here at TFR, Open for Business, with Blair Lyon, VP of Marketing at Linode. Commercialization of open source is a critical piece of sustainability. I have talked to a lot of people. I have a lot of organizations. Everybody talks about one thing, that you know, your open source will not survive if there is no commercial model behind it. There are so many topics that we can talk about when we talk about businesses, open source, cloud native world, where a lot of companies, they are taking a lot of open source projects and trying to build businesses on that. But for today's topic, what I want to talk about, and that's something I think close to Linode's heart, is that unlike taking money from VCs, Linode has been an independent company for not only for a long time, it continues to remain an independent company. So my question to you, first of all, is that what is the biggest difference between a self-funded company versus a VC-funded company, just from financial point of view?
It's really important to figure out what are the core opportunities for that company, what are the products that they're developing, and what's the market window that you have to capitalize with your particular project or company. And that kind of dictates the different types of funding that you want to go, whether it's a self-funded, bootstrapped kind of thing like we've done at Linode over the last 17 years, or you're looking to accelerate product adoption, being able to ramp up sales and marketing, product development, things like that faster, and you need the additional funding to get there. When you look at kind of the two different ways, of course, it's self-funding, you know, using your own capital, using friends and family, developing the business on your own, which can tend to be slower. And that's one of the reasons why people are drawn towards venture capital. They don't either have the money to self-seed their company, or the opportunity that they see is narrow in terms of the time frame, and they want to be able to move quicker, or the capital that they need to be able to even get going or be able to bring a minimally viable product to market requires significant investment. So they need to go out and find external investors. And there's a variety of ranges of investors. You can get seed investors that'll help you in early stage. There are, of course, private equity, there's venture capital. There's a variety of different ways to go, but every situation is unique. And you really need to be able to kind of look at, what is my opportunity? What is the business I'm trying to do? And what's the window I have to be able to capitalize on that?
And how different is, all this funding that you mentioned from taking a loan? Because sometimes when you take a loan or borrow money from somebody, there are no strings attached. You know, this is your money, you have to return me, I don't care how you use the money. But when you are a VC-funded company, or any, are there any strings attached? I just want to understand, you know, how much influence or control VCs get over a company when they invest into that company.
There's all kinds of potential strings attached. And one of the things that I learned on my first company was, in working with our attorney, is that a lot of our discussions were around what would happen if 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, you know, this or this happened. And a lot of the things that venture capitalists and other investors put into their agreements is different, preference rights in terms of the money that comes out, that they get paid first. There's other sort of accelerators that they can get if you don't hit certain milestones. There's all kinds of change in control language that can happen. So if you talk to any serial entrepreneur, they'll tell you a whole bunch of pros and cons and war stories of where they either lost control of their business, or they were forced out, or they had they weren't able to influence key decisions the way that they wanted to anymore because the board had more control and was influencing those decisions. So there's all kinds of little pitfalls in terms of whether you're getting into, let's say, even just a partnership with somebody, or definitely when you're getting into a relationship with a venture capital partner or investor, is, you know, you're giving control of your business to a certain extent. And there's a whole bunch of hidden legal language that is very difficult to decipher that you need to pay attention to, because right now you'll be like, hey, this isn't going to apply to me at all. Like, I don't see how this could possibly get there. And then next thing you know, you're running a business that could be a $10, $20, $100 million business, and things change. And some of those covenants or some of those pieces can come back to bite you. So you really need to be careful. It's a long-term agreement. You're getting in bed with a a partner that has different motivations, obviously, than you do. Maybe your motivation is more social purpose. Maybe it's to make money. Maybe it's to build a long-term lifestyle business. But these companies are driven by return on their investment. People give them money to get a return back. And often those are in short windows of time based on the fund duration, which is typically a 10-year duration. So they will often be quite motivated to push you to do things quicker or to overextend yourself faster because they want to get a return on their investment. And they're also driven by kind of a different mathematics. For you, it's kind of do or die. Hopefully I can grow this company. If I don't, it's going to be terrible. For them, they're hoping to get a 1 in 10. So they're hoping one out of each of their 10 investments succeeds, and that'll pay for the other investments that didn't make it. So you obviously don't want to be one of those other nine. But that's the calculus that they're looking at the world. So they're not as invested as you are in your business.
You highlighted something really important. Like, for example, I'm building a business here. When you're building a business, you're passionate about, you saw a problem in the market that you want to solve. You actually are building a business because you want to help your users through whatever service, software, whatever it is. When you look at, any investor, they have their own business, and they're, just the way you are committed to their business, they are committed to their business, which is, to invest into companies and monetize from that. The problem is when you take this outside money, you actually hand over the vision, the control, the influence. You're no longer committed to your user, actually. Now you are more or less like kind of committed to the person who wants his money back. So does that mean that you're actually compromising with the very value that you started that business with?
It's possible. It's why when you talk to a lot of other entrepreneurs or coaches like myself, they'll talk to you about trying to find the right fit, trying to find the right investor that shares sort of your vision and also has some history of working with companies and being more focused on how to help the companies be successful. Maybe they offer outside consulting, or they provide networking, or they have more of a longer term view of their investments. So not every investor is the same. I've worked with a wide variety, some of which are just money, and some of which are really partners, even operational partners with you, and really rolling up their sleeves and getting in there with you to help grow your business. So there's a wide range, and you need to find the right fit for you. And you have to find people that are aligned with the way that you think about your opportunity and your customers and the market that you're trying to enter. Because if you're already misaligned in the very beginning, then it's going to be really difficult for you to gain consensus and be able to work together to be able to serve your customers. And then you get into this really nasty scenario where they want a certain return or performance or for you to hit certain milestones. And you're saying, that's not really what my customers need. My customers need this, or we need to fix these things first before we launch this next product. And we just need to do right by our customer. And that's a challenge. It's one of the things that really drove me to, partnering with companies like Linode that are not influenced by those things. Often it can be fine. You can find the right partners and it works great. Other times it's not so good. And they can compromise your values in doing what's right for the customer. I've seen that happen more often than not.
Does it make even more complicated to take outside money in the open source world? Because what happens, I was talking to Red Hat CEO and Jim Whitehurst earlier, and when he said that he would acquire a company and he would open source them, and the board of directors and the shareholders say, why are you doing that? And he said, that's what we do. Here the case is different because Red Hat has much more sway and control over its own board. But when you look at other smaller companies, when they have an open source license, then there may be some push from the VCs. Hey, change the license, make it closed source, change the model from open source to open core or whatever it is, just so that, because they see someone else taking that code and making money from it. So how tricky is it for open source companies to take outside money? Because I have talked to a lot of companies, Stadia Maps is one of those, they are, you know, bootstrap, they are investing their own money into that, you know, versus taking money. So can you talk about the complications that come up for open source companies?
I think it's only amplified, right? Because here you're trying to do something where you want to gain the benefits of open source. You want to be able to, you know, crowdsource my project. I want to be able to get contributors. I want to be able to give back to the community. I want to be able to leverage a lot of these tools. I want to be, you know, a part of the open source movement. And of course, investors are always going to go for, how do I get more margin? How do I get more revenue? How do I position your business in a way that's going to increase the multiple, meaning how many times revenue or how many times EBITDA they can sell your company for. And so they will want to twist that math around in ways that advantage them and hopefully advantage you as well, in a way for exiting the business or maybe even IPOing the business. So their motivations are going to be very different than potentially yours. And it's going to be, it's a challenge. That's why, you know, companies like Stadia Maps, they've chosen to stick with Bootstrap, stick with kind of the purity of that and being able to be in control and be able to make those decisions on their own without having to be influenced by an investor or combinations of investors who may have, you know, majority control over your business and saying, hey, you know what, this looks like a great opportunity to close source this part of the product, charge customers for that, and increase our profitability, increase our revenue. But again, they're always looking at it from their point of view, and they may have other time constraints that you don't see, whether it's the duration of that fund that money came from, or other investments maybe that didn't work out. So they're hoping that yours works out more. So it can really twist things around, and I think you need to be extra careful of that. And that's why I'm so excited when you see companies that have been able to bootstrap their way, grow their business without that outside influence. They're in such a better position in terms of control of their business and being able to you know, leverage and contribute to the open source community in ways that I think the proprietary or, you know, capital backed companies just can't. So it's a touchy thing. I mean, I coach entrepreneurs all the time and executives all the time around this issue. And it's a hard one because, you know, sometimes they don't have those options. They need to capitalize on a market opportunity quickly. They need to get cash to be able to invest in sales and marketing or product development. And so they have to kind of make the deal with the devil, so to speak, to get there. You just have to go in eyes wide open. Make sure you talk to other people that have been there, done that, and make a really, you know, smart, calculated decision on who you're going to get in bed with.
So, Blake, that was actually a very good kind of, you know, I have a very good understanding of, you know, the difference between putting your own money versus taking, you know, outside money. There are a lot of other, you know, ways, you know, you can just put everything on a credit card, you can talk to your friends and family, and then you can move. So, but there are so many things we need to talk about in this space. And I look forward to, you know, the future, you know, kind of sessions or episodes. It's more or less like kind of also helping a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs who are going to leverage open source technology to build their companies, that what is the right path to kind of build a very sustainable model for their businesses. Any other closing thoughts you have, Blair, before we wrap this up?
For years, I've been, of course, you know, working with and growing early stage and fast growth companies, and working with both bootstrapped and venture backed and private equity backed companies. And I mean, it's all about knowing. I often talk about it's not always knowing what to do. It's knowing what to do when and how much. And I think that's the biggest challenge that entrepreneurs always have, is they can read a case study, they can look at an example, they can read an article, and they can try and apply what that company did or what that CEO or entrepreneur did to their business. But it doesn't always fit because they're at a different stage, they're at a different kind of maturity level of their business. And that's one of the things that I think would be fun for us to explore more, is trying to understand what is the right combination of things to work on right now based on your situation, because everyone's situation is unique, and that's one of the biggest challenges of growing a business.